we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I am Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today in St. David's, just north of the Great Niagara Falls, along with John Poulter from Toronto. John, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much, Dave. Always fun to chat with you.
All right. And it will be today. Got a lot on the NFL slate today as we limp to the finish line, John, in the NFL. You know, they got this far and it's starting to get a little hairy out there, don't you think? As far as where they're playing and scheduling and who's got the virus and all that. Let's keep this brief. We'll get into the Packers, but it's getting ugly out there now.
Yeah, it's really getting ugly. It's almost like a moving target, isn't it? You don't know whether a game is going to be Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, not played, San Francisco, the suburbs, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, or it could go from San Francisco to Arizona, which they are doing for several weeks. 49ers get to spend Christmas in Phoenix. So it's nice. Let me say that much. I've spent a few there. It's okay. But that's what they're doing. Anyway, we'll get into all of that as Steve Leventhal from Chicago joins us in our next segment. But let's look at the Packers' win over the Bears. And it was 41-25, John, but not nearly that close. Aaron Rodgers throws for 4 touchdown passes. Green Bay had 28 points by halftime and basically was just running out the game after that. Looking at this, John, Mitch Trubisky starts for the Bears in place of the, I guess, injured Nick Foles. It still didn't work out as he had 2 interceptions and a fumble.
Yeah, the Bears have certainly got problems. At least this week they got a few points, but you just have to watch them and you have to realize that there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, and it's unfortunate because that defense is playing so well. You have to figure that if they got half an effort out of their offense, they might actually win a few football games.
Well, the defense was playing well until they went to Green Bay on Monday. And now Aaron Rodgers, 20-5 against the Bears in games he had started. What a statistic in what's supposed to be a heated rivalry. Right now, Packers hold the edge, 195 and 6 ties. I don't even know if I ever remember one of the ties. I'm going to have to look back and see where that was. But yeah, 4 touchdown passes for Aaron. Although he only had 211 yards, Trubisky had 242 and 3 touchdowns. Look at that. You look at the stats and think, holy cats, he's on fire. But it was all in garbage time. And David Montgomery had a nice day with 103 yards for the Bears, but 57 of them on a big run in the first quarter. So after that, not so much. Packers ground game good with Aaron Jones at 90 and Jamal Williams at 73 yards. Almost 200 yards in rushing for Green Bay that day. And Robert Tonyan stepping up nice at tight end with 5 receptions, 67 yards at a touchdown. Davante Adams, 6 grabs in this game also. The Philadelphia Eagles are next for Green Bay, and that's going to be at Lambeau Field, and the Eagles are bad. If you think the Bears have no offense, the Eagles have no offense. I don't know, John, were you able to catch that game last night, Philadelphia, a little bit of that?
I watched about 10 minutes of it, to be very okay. honest with you, and that was about as much as my eyes and my stomach could take. It was very, very disappointing. But, you know, you talk about that NFC East, and we joked at the start of the year about maybe the city of New York would have an O for a year. But all of a sudden, the New York Giants have pulled themselves all the way back to 4-7. And now, if you can believe this, actually lead that division along with the Washington no-names. both at 4-7. And boy, that's a pretty sad excuse for a division, isn't it?
Well, it is, but Packers have somebody from that division next in Green Bay. Carson Wentz has his hands full. He has no talent around him. Neither does Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles when he lines up. Maybe Marcus Robinson's good for the Bears. Maybe diminished Alshon Jeffrey's good for the Eagles. They don't have much, either of these places. So Matt Nagy can pound his fist and plead for his players to show some guts and pride and all. When you're not playing with good players, it makes it hard to win. Let's listen to Aaron Rodgers talk about where the Packers are at this point of the season. They are 8-3, leading the NFC North by 3 games, and in good shape right now after that win against the Bears. Here's Rodgers.
Yeah, I like where we're at. I think we've had, obviously last week was a tough one, and losing in overtime to a good football team, but to bounce back against a division rival. In a game that could really put us in the driver's seat, we played the way we need to play. And I said before the game, I believe it. If you want to be a great team, these are the kind of games you got to win. And I thought we went out there and set the tone on offense and the end of the line of scrimmage, and we're efficient throwing the ball. And that just stayed steady the entire night. Obviously, our defense coming up with some big plays. Preston, I thought, had a really good game. And obviously, around the ball, important plays. Z strip sack, Savage with a couple picks was excellent. We had our hands on a number of footballs. It's tough to play in the elements sometimes. That's why we love the friendly confines of Lambeau Field in the wintertime, because there's a lot of elements, like I mentioned before, the footing, also the wind. We've had wind in the last 3 or 4 home games that makes it difficult to throw at times for guys who aren't used to this weather. But this is the type of weather we enjoy playing in, and to go up 3 now with 5 to play puts us in a really good position for our first goal, which is winning the North.
That's Aaron Rodgers, and so 8-3 the Packers are right now. Philadelphia next at Lambeau Field, late game on Fox. Coming back on the show, Steve Leventhal in Chicago, and we'll be talking about the Bears as he covers the press conferences there, has for years. And we'll talk to him about the book he wrote a couple of years, Return to Respectability, about the Bears, 2018. Where's the respectability now? We'll be back after this on the Sports Report.
Internet FM is bringing the car radio into your mobile phone. The Internet FM app features a clean, easy-to-use interface with no ads and no clutter. There's no need to sort through thousands of radio stations to find what you want to listen to. Internet FM is a hand-curated app with dozens of the best streaming radio stations on the planet. 20 rock stations, plus blues, jazz, jam band, indie rock, and more. Available now for Android and iPhones. Download it today. Search for Internet FM, all in one word. That's Internet FM.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at BaseballVoices.com. That's BaseballVoices.com.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots.
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this. I would not want to play the Kansas City Chiefs at this point. They're my pick for the Super Bowl. I'm really going out on the limb here. The Chiefs are the home.
Please pass the shot. Hey.
And with John Poulter in Toronto, I'm Packer Dave in St. David's, just north of Niagara Falls. We're joined now by Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, with the 500 people in the stands, it may have been a couple bottles of schnapps would have taken care of everybody.
No.
Oh, but wait, that's Green Bay. Would have taken another truckload.
Wouldn't have taken care of
schnapps and Jaeger. Right? Little Jaeger bombs.
Now, John, Steve wrote a book a couple years ago, right? You co-authored a book. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Talking to you, Steve.
I know.
Hang with me.
Here. Oh, you want the
experience? No. Hank, just relax. John, he named it Return to Respectability, the 2018 Bears. Do you remember that, John?
I vaguely. I haven't seen the respectability yet, but I think it was a long-term premonition is probably where I'm coming from.
Well, it was a book about the 2018 Bears. It was Mitch Trubisky, new coach Matt Nagy. They looked like they were going to do well. They won the NFC North, went to the playoffs, and lost in the first round on a heartbreaking double doink miss off the crossbar, off the upright and the crossbar from Cody Parkey, and their season ended abruptly and in agony. So that was the year. They went to the playoffs. They didn't win a game. So it was respectable. Wouldn't you say, John, that's kind of respectable?
Effort? Yeah, they certainly looked like they were on the way, and it's hard to believe that double doink field goal attempt was that long ago. I remember watching that, and it was humorous at the time. I'm sure as a Bears fan, Steve probably doesn't think it was humorous.
Well, he's not a Bears fan, John. Steve is not a Bears fan. He's a North Carolina Tar Heel fan.
That's right. I like two teams, North Carolina and whoever's playing Duke in any sport, tiddlywinks, lacrosse, track and field.
So he has covered the Bears, though, since 93, right? We started covering the Bears, Steve, 93, 94,
right?
No, 93. That's when I met Dennis McKinnon. Okay, so we had to be covering the Bears then because he was involved in the company then. But anyway, I digress.
No kidding.
That is 27 years ago.
Yikes.
Well, he's been covering the Bears a long time, and now they return to respectability. John, Steve was about to write a book in 2019, say Inching Towards Nearly Good was the title of the book, but it didn't work out for the Bears, so he had to postpone that. And based on what happened, is happening this year, do we have any titles for, are you going to write one about what's
going on?
How about
regressing from respectability?
regressing from,
you know, I got to keep the alliteration, keep the R's. Yeah, John.
How about there's always next year?
Yeah.
That phrase was taken by the Cubs fans a long time ago.
If the Bears wrote that one, if you wrote that one, Steve, and called it that, it would have great shelf life. Believe me.
Hey, you know how many copies of the book I've sold? About 30, 35, and I think my mom bought 30 of them.
All right, so we covered the Bears and the Packers, Steve, in the earlier segment, and we want to hear how Coach Matt Nagy reacted to this dismal game that just didn't seem like anybody was expired. Khalil Mack was nowhere to be found in the game.
Well, the ironic.
And I know that Akeem Hicks was out, but you have one big guy out. That doesn't mean you just collapse. And the Bears' defense was bad. The Packers drove for a touchdown the first three drives on the Bears' defense.
Well, I know. Think about it. And here's the ironic thing was they talked about before they had the bye week. And they go, we're going to do some self-scouting and soul-searching and all this other stuff. And what did they do?
Nothing.
The wheels came off the bus before the Bears even got on the field for offense.
That's what you do when there's just nothing. Go home, do some soul-searching.
Oh, yeah.
You've got nothing left. You have no talent. There's no talent on the horizon.
Well, and they keep talking about, you know, every week I hear these press conferences, and Nagy's always, you know,
even the press conferences are awful. Just go home and soul.
We got a good week. We got to keep trying harder and all this nonsense. And I'm thinking, okay.
Into the corner in a dark room, search your soul. Okay, but he didn't sound that way on his press conference. Can we hear that, Steve, please? Here's Coach Matt Nagy.
We're fighting and fighting and you get a deficit like that, and it's just hard to overcome. And oh, by the way, it's even more difficult when you're playing Aaron Rodgers. So we get that. But whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week, is that. And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing.
Oh boy, he used the freaking word. He said freak. You know somebody's mad. They want to say it. They just can't say it on the press conference tape. So we got the freaking.
Yes, they were freaking out. I still a lot of the blame goes to the offense. It couldn't stay on the field, even maybe in garbage time, but they're just, their offensive execution is terrible. Mitch cannot throw the ball downfield. But, you know, if you want to put Nick Foles in, I don't really think it's an upgrade. I really don't. I think unfortunately, the best thing that you've got there is Trubisky because he's more mobile. And the way that pocket collapses, you need a quarterback who can run. And
they're both hopeless. Why not put the third guy in?
Because he's even worse.
Can't be.
Oh, believe me, you'd be better off playing that hitting guy that was in, you know, that suited up for Denver as quarterback. He'd be better than Tyler Bray. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
I don't think he has any stats.
Trubisky threw two touchdowns and fumbled. They gave the game away. The guy could not do any worse, even if he never threw the ball, even if he just ran. All right, enough about the – well, let's hear from Trubisky.
Now, this was a question that I asked him about. Did it feel good to get out there?
Yeah.
If I had any perspective to take away from this, it would, or any positive, it would be that, I mean, just not being able to play and not being able to throw or practice, just being out there, I was grateful for that. Just being able to play the game, be out there with my guys. Obviously, it went bad for us tonight. We didn't get the result we wanted. We didn't play the way we wanted. But for me, being out there and playing with them, is better than sitting out. So that'd be the only takeaway, I guess, that I would have that is positive, because the perspective of just not being able to be out them, it sucks. But the other things we can improve on. But so just grateful to be healthy again.
Is it really though, John? Is it really better to be out there if it's just going so bad? Wouldn't you rather just be on the bench and think about what it would be like if you could be out there and maybe performing? That's for you, John.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I guess when you're in that situation, you know, you're pretty limited as to what you can say. But, you know, cliche after cliche after cliche. I mean, what could he say other than the fact that he didn't play well and his team didn't play well? And to your point earlier, the defense didn't show up either, and they've leaned on that defense most of the season. So you got to feel a little badly for him, but at the end of the day, they're professional athletes. They're paid to perform, and he didn't do it, and neither did the rest of his teammates. He wasn't alone.
Okay, John. Well, we're going to move on from the Bears and the Packers. By the way, before we do, pronounce the Packers coach's name.
Guy LaFleur.
Not Guy. Wasn't he like a hockey player, right?
A converted hockey player. Didn't he have a career before he played football? Did he play a little junior hockey up there in Winnipeg or, you know, Thunder Bay?
Actually, Steve, Guy LaFleur is from a place called Thurso, which is a French-Canadian town. and he played the junior hockey for the Quebec Ramparts. And they filled the building when he was there, believe me. He was a god in that town. And then, of course, went on to a very distinguished career with the Canadians, but always played in the province of Quebec before that short spell with the New York Rangers at the end of his career.
Only you would know that.
I was going to say, you get the sense that that's really where John's area of expertise lies right there, when he can name the junior hockey team that some guy played in.
Okay, yeah. Who was the MVP of junior hockey last year?
All right, enough. Okay, you said LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Right? What?
LaFleur?
It's not LaFleur. It's LaFleur. Okay? I learned that because I was saying it maybe.
Well, that's because you're up there in Canada. Don't you have to, by rule, know how to pronounce that stuff? Do they penalize?
I can see the United States damn near from my window. It's right over there.
I can see Russia, just like Sarah Palin.
Not very far away from the United States. It's not like I live, in Nunavut territory or anything.
Is that as close as you can get to the U.S. without attracting the marshal's attention?
LaFleur. Okay. So anyway, we were talking a bit about at the start of the show about this season. It is, kind of limping towards the finish right now. You've got games being rescheduled. You've got teams being kicked out of their stadiums because of coronavirus and having to play in other markets. That happened to the 49ers going to Arizona now to play their next three home games. You have other teams, as a result of other teams' coronavirus situations, having to reschedule their games. You're having games on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and some Thursdays. Pretty soon we'll have Saturdays, Sunday. You know, it may be just there'll be football every day. Why don't they do that, John? Why don't they just have a couple games every day?
Well, I suspect what they're probably going to do is say that Monday or Wednesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Wednesday, pick 2 days. Those are going to be the spare days. And anytime we need a date to slide a game into, we're going to do that.
I'm trying to picture the guys in the NFL sitting there with, you know, it's like trying to arrange seats at a wedding. Okay, well, let's put so-and-so at this table. Now it's a problem here. And, you know, I don't envy the logistical nightmare that I mean, think about that. In college, they've had to cancel games. They had windows where they could put extra games. But the NFL, you know, now that all these teams are getting done with their buys, that's, I guess, why it was really problematic for Pittsburgh.
All right. The Ravens, 15 players with coronavirus. Be careful out there. It is everywhere. But, you know, you see, the NFL has seen these bad seasons before. We had the strike season in 82. We had replacement players in the late 80s. I believe it was 87 or 88. So they just gut through it. And that's how they're doing it right now. Some information from last week, of course, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, the coach and GM of the Lions, gone. Darren Bevell steps in as the interim coach. GM of the Jags, Dave Caldwell, is out. May have to look at Doug Marrone, what's going to happen to him at the end of the year. Just a couple of years after the AFC Championship game, the Jaguars have won one game.
Well, there are people in this town that are calling for Ryan Pace to get fired. And one of the very first questions that was asked after the press conferences following the Bears game was, what does Matt Nagy think about his job security?
Yeah, well, they usually don't answer those questions. Yeah, I am in trouble, everybody. Please, please. You know somebody that wants to possibly rent a place.
Well, like, remember what Steve Cohen, our former colleague, used to say, rent, don't buy.
Don't buy, rent. That's right. And, you know, I'm available for, he's an offensive guy, right, supposedly. It didn't look like it the other night, but, I mean, he's an offensive coordinator.
Maybe yeah, he's a former quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator for Andy Reid.
Which is another thing. These guys, he's supposed to be this great coordinator. Where is it at? So, yeah. Now, and also, Steve, you know this, Jeremy Chinn, the rookie from the Carolina Panthers, two fumble recoveries on first one, a Kirk Cousins tackle, sack, loses the ball, guy picks the ball up, runs it in, Jeremy Chinn. Then they kick off, then the Vikings get the ball again. They hand off to Delvin Cook. He fumbles. Somebody picks up the fumble, runs it in. Who is it in? Who's
Jeremy
it?
Chinn.
Jeremy Chinn. All right. You know, and so you know what happened to the Vikings? Where did they take it? They took it on the chin. That's right.
Oh, where's the rim shot? Ba-da-boom.
And it was 69 seconds between those two events. Incredible. And then also incredible that the Panthers lost.
Well, how about on the other end of incredible, the Denver game against New Orleans with two guys who are not normally quarterbacks opposing each other.
Kendall Hinton for the Denver Broncos completed one pass. So congratulations.
Quarterback rating of zero.
Have you ever completed a pass in the NFL? Kendall Hinton did. So
yeah.
Good for him.
But think about how bad he must have been if he wasn't good enough to play quarterback for Wake Forest, which in itself is not exactly a football powerhouse. Probably the only team worse than Wake is Vanderbilt.
You know, he didn't come to NFL to play quarterback, Steve. He's a wide receiver. Okay, slate of games on Sunday. Saints at Falcons. These are the early games. Detroit at Chicago, nobody cares. Cleveland at Tennessee is a good one. Cleveland's sitting with 8 wins right now. Miami hosts Cincinnati. Important game for Miami. There's a lot of important games because there are 7 playoff teams. Jacksonville at Minnesota. The Vikings would like to have that one to crawl back into the wild card chase here. The Las Vegas Raiders. What happened to them last week? They just took it on the chin, and the New York Jets will be hosting them this week. Indy at Houston.
The good news is somebody has to win that game against Vegas and Jets.
Well, Vegas is doing all right this year, Steve. They're over 500. The Jets have not won a game yet. Also, the Los Angeles Rams at Arizona. These are the late games. That's at 4 o'clock. The Giants at Seattle. That's an important game for both those teams. You have Colt McCoy at quarterback for the Giants now, as the Giants starting quarterback was knocked out of the game last week, and he will not return for this week. Philadelphia at Green Bay, we discussed. New England at Los Angeles Chargers. That's a late game. Then the Sunday night game, Denver at Kansas City. I wouldn't be surprised to see them flex out of that if they can right now. Monday night, Washington at Pittsburgh. Yes, Steve.
You got to be happy to see Bill Belichick having a tough year.
Well, they're not, though. I mean, they're coming back. They won last week. And with seven playoff teams, there are a lot of opportunities for teams like New England to get back into it. Cam Newton, I'm giving him credit. Washington at Pittsburgh, that will be Monday at 5 Eastern time. Buffalo at San Francisco in Arizona, actually. That'll be at 8:15 Eastern time. Then on Tuesday, the Dallas Cowboys at the Baltimore Ravens. Anybody like to comment on any of those games? John, we will set you up to plate first here.
Well, the only comment I would make, Dave, is that you said that NBC would probably like to flex out of that Sunday night Denver-Kansas City game. But, boy, you look at the rest of the schedule, and I'm not sure what's a whole lot better. It's either a bunch of teams that are going nowhere or games where there's one good team and one terrible team. I don't see any other marquee games on the slate, so
they should flex if they can is Cleveland at Tennessee.
That would be the best option.
I don't know if CBS has total rights to that, but if I'm looking at that schedule, that's hands down the easiest one. Both winning teams, both looking to compete. Cleveland is not going to win their division, but Tennessee's competing for the division, so that's the one. Steve, how about you?
Well, I agree, but I was going to say, I don't know why the thought of this was when you talk about Cleveland and all those Baker Mayfield commercials are so funny, where he's in the stadium doing the book club, cooking, cleaning up. That's what comes to my mind.
That's what comes to your mind, huh? Okay. Well, aren't I lucky to be broadcasting with such a...
The pleasure is entirely yours.
It is. All right, guys. You wanted to touch on Premier League soccer, so take that away.
Yeah, sounds like we're regressing back to the normal teams at the top of the table, right, John?
Yeah, pretty much so. Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester City. Two surprises actually in the top half dozen, Steve, would be West Ham and Southampton. Both, in my opinion, surprising. Certainly West Ham more recently. Southampton lost on the weekend after being up 2-0 at halftime. But Tottenham and Liverpool at the top, and talk about two teams being pretty even. Both 6-3-1 after 10 games. 21 goals scored by Tottenham, 22 by Liverpool, both teams with 21 points. It doesn't get a whole lot tighter than that. Some of the teams that started out very well, Everton, Aston Villa, the ones that come to mind, Leeds United also, they're starting to fall down a little bit. Arsenal struggling down in 14th place, and you have to wonder if there's something brewing there. The real challenge is down at the bottom, and all of a sudden we have four teams that have 7 points or less. Poor old Sheffield United, they've got Chicago Bears-itis. 10 games played, four goals scored. We all know you don't win too many games when you score four goals in 10 games. Burnley in 19th place has also only scored four goals, but they at least do have the benefit of saying that they've played one game less, so they have a chance to make it up. But starting to look pretty dull at the bottom there. Already we've got four teams, Fulham, West Brom, Burnley, and Sheffield, that are 3 points or more out of the relegation zone. So not looking good for those two teams. Month of December always busy in the Premier League, of course, because there's all the holiday fixtures. So probably by the time we get to January, we're going to see some of these things even out. Then, of course, once we get to January, we get to the FA Cup. And the draw was made yesterday, and a small team by the name of Marine, which is from a, I'm going to call it a suburb of Liverpool. It's actually a small town just outside of Liverpool. It's part of Greater Liverpool. This is a team in the eighth tier of English football. They're part-timers. In the cup, they drew a home game against Tottenham Hotspur. Now, you talk about a bunch of team, a bunch of players and a bunch of fans that are going to say the game of their lives. I think the weekend is January the 8th through the 11th. Those games have to be played. Those guys are going to be going out playing on their home field, which is a very small stadium. I mean, there's houses across the street. There's two sides of the stadium are just a fence. They're not even stands. People are going to be standing in the streets watching this game. This is going to be history. And for these guys, they're 15 minutes of fame. That's what the FA Cup is all about.
Well, and think about that, since you really can't, and I'm assuming just like in the Premier League, there really aren't going to be fans in the stands. But if you, like you said, there's open fencing, then people are going to be standing behind the fencing, right?
Exactly. Now, there are some fans going to be allowed back in some stadiums starting this weekend, primarily the London teams. They're going to have a small percentage of fans. I'm not sure what the number is, but the so-called hotspots, one of which is Manchester, they will not have fans, but they're starting to get fans back in the stadiums. How long it will last, I don't know. But yeah, these guys actually might have a better view by being able to stand outside along a fence rather than buying a ticket and going in. But as I say, 15 minutes of fame for the players on that team, Marine, little place just outside of Liverpool.
I mean, that's kind of cool. I'm sure a lot of those guys probably work real jobs and just play football on the side, right?
Oh, exactly. That's what they are. I mean, they're plumbers, they're bricklayers. Some of them are probably professionals in terms of their business. They're probably accountants, doctors, that kind of stuff. But you're talking about a bunch of guys that work in factories, in the mines. You know, I mean, it's a great story. It really is.
That's right. Kane coming down and he's being defended by a plumber and he passes the plumber and comes an accountant. Whoops, he slips by him and just eases it in behind the goalkeeper who works as a dentist.
Yeah. We've all seen it happen. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there's a team called Yeovil, which is a town in Somerset, which is in the southwest of England. They were amateurs at the time, and they played in such a dilapidated old place that the pitch actually wasn't flat. It actually sloped. And Yeovil had quite an FA Cup run. I'm going to say this was probably like 1958, 1959, 1960. It's a long time ago. And that became a very historic cup run. So, are these guys going to beat Tottenham Hotspur? Yeah, probably not. But hey, in 1950, the Americans beat England at the World Cup with a guy playing in net that they'd recruited the day before. So it happens.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's like, I was just going to say that. Yeah, that's not going to happen today. That would be like, you know, the YMCA team taking on the Lakers or somebody. It just, you know, there's just no chance.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, lot covered today. Great to have you guys on. John Poulter in Toronto, Steve Leventhal in Chicago. I'm Packard Dave. This has been the Sports Report. Remember, you can check us out at internetfm.com. That's internetfm.com. SRNbroadcasting.com. SRNbroadcasting.com. Or KWWradio.com. Shows posted each week on KWW Radio, so check those out. And for my buddies here on the show, I'm Packer Dave. Have a great week. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get the bears, scumbag!
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now, you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.